Oh, you've tubbed up rice.
I've had a right enough of you and your Dawsons.
Oh, she sells seashells down at the Michael Barrymore.
I'm so sorry, Rob.
I parked it at the Khyber Pass.
Liberace!
Can you add a manoeuvre with Rob Bollocks?
All right, Liberace, here you go, mate.
Before I get into this, I was a bit upset with Rick. That's the last time I buy him a ticket to anywhere.
What?
You know, I bought him a ticket to the Butterflies, and I just found out on air
they didn't go. Oh, no, rude, eh? Just, you know.
Rick, I thought
could have given
that
someone the kid, eh? Like a kid,
yeah.
You know? Oh.
Yeah.
How are you there, Rob?
I'm very well, thank you.
Last week, I put it to you that there was ice on the surface of Mars. And your mind wandered.
It certainly did, for a change. I kept life on, is there life on Mars with Bowie, but is there ice on Mars? Kept going through my head for 3 hours.
Oh.
And then I, no, I didn't.
Right, okay.
Okay, well, researchers have found out there's 8 sites where thick deposits of ice beneath the surface of Mars are exposed, some of it up to 100 metres thick.
100 metres thick ice on the surface of Mars?
On the surface of Mars.
Ice is made of water.
Yes,
well,
yes.
And where there's water, there's usually...
life.
Oh, no, it's been down that road.
I'm playing that in the moment. You can't hear it because you haven't got the headphones on, but I'm playing
are
that.
Are you playing that?
Yep.
Brilliant. I'll just shut up and let David carry on. Right, so anyway, they've studied it and with the high rise, which is the high resolution imaging science experiment camera aboard NASA's reconnaissance orbiter.
Good.
Don't ask me to repeat that. The ice apparently was deposited first as snow.
So this is interesting, isn't it?
It's very interesting.
Didn't that snowed on Mars?
Yes.
Maybe once it did.
They reckon there's at least one third of Mars underneath the surface is ice.
This is big news because it means that one of the big things about humanity transporting ourselves to Mars is having the cost of taking water up there.
Well, this is what made me start to wonder, actually, because I was thinking, yeah, this is really good because, like, once you get there, all you need is a bucket and spade and you can go and hack yourself up a bit of water. Apparently it's, like, really pure and all that.
How do they know that?
Because they know stuff. Now, what I've been thinking about, you've actually got to get there first, right?
Long time to get there. Long distance.
300 days.
Is it 300 days?
In between 150 and 300, but I've said 300 because it was easier to
go
work
for the,
out.
Yeah, go for the worst case scenario.
Now, apparently, you need 3 liters of water a day, right?
Oh, more probably. Yeah.
But if there's like just 4 people going on this first mission, that's 3,600 liters of water. Where are you going to put that?
In the thing.
In the what's name? In the thingy, Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's all I needed to know. Because, I mean, when they do these space things, like launches and that, if you take anything, it costs you so much fuel.
Yeah.
Or it takes so much fuel.
Oh, yeah, this is the thing. This is why it's so interesting.
Yeah, but how'd you get all that water there in the first place?
I think they drink their own urine. I think it's a lot of it's recycled, Rob. I think.
Really?
I think so, yeah. I believe so.
Okay. Wow, I wish I didn't know that. Well, who wants
you
to
come
be
from?
An
you,
astronaut?
Hannah, you come from London.
Yeah, I've never drunk my own urine.
You've drunk the water in London, though, haven't you?
Yeah.
Are you sure you've never drunk your own urine? Then, are you sure?
True.
Because that tastes gross. That water in London, and I'm pretty sure that they do a wee bit of that over there.
Oh, okay.
Let's say a wee bit.
Wee bit. Yeah, that was good. I said good about that. Anyway, this pushed me to my next thing. That's all really, really interesting, but it's this that space, time, and distance of getting to places, which has led me to this. Now, Nick Pope worked for the British Ministry of Defence from 85 to 2006, and he...
That's a good stint.
He ran extensive inquiries into any potential defence threat posed by UFO phenomenon.
That was his job?
That was his job. Now, the project was shut down as there is no threat. For years, alien believers...
He did a good job then, didn't he?
For years, alien believers have claimed the US government and possibly others have encountered visited aliens and allowed them to operate unseen in hidden underground bases from where they research our planet in return for the government's assessing their technology.
Right. Yes, I've heard this, but I mean, really, Rob? Really?
Well,
really?
Various theories even suggest that a vast array of species live here, which include reptilians.
Reptilians, good morning to you.
Greys.
Good morning to the greys.
And the human-like tall whites.
Human-like tall white.
Which?
You are a human-like tall
white. That's what I was actually thinking. I've got a big part of my life I can't remember. So this is all starting to make sense to me. But anyway, he's convinced, Mr. Pope is convinced that aliens exist somewhere out there, but he's not satisfied and he's seen no smoking gun evidence that they have ever visited here.
Must be very frustrating when you've been given a job like that and you think, right, I'm ready to go. Yeah. And come to work and go, anything? And everyone goes, no. Yeah. And you go,
be like being a ghost hunter, I suppose.
Yeah.
Or someone squatch. Religious.
Being a squatch hunter or someone religious, yeah.
Scientifically, he's not convinced aliens could make it to Earth. Now, this is my thing about getting to Mars, right? Now, he says if there's any UFOs arriving from other planets, they would only be automated probes or craft.
The same way that we've seen. Yeah, we're doing that, aren't we? Yeah.
So, you know, like you could be living on Mars and all of a sudden this thing comes down and starts prodding around.
Well,
and
pray tell, what are all these stories then of visitations and abductions?
Well, yeah, see, this is what I struggle with because I'm an ancient alien theorist.
Yeah.
I'm sort of thinking, well, maybe that was, because we're talking thousands of years ago when they come here. But did they?
Did they? But then, what are they?
But see, well, now this is something else that's come out. It's just come out last month that the Americans had a top secret project to look at the potential threat of UFOs from 2007 to 2012.
Oh.
It's just come out. And the story is a major one as the US government has consistently stated that they have no interest in UFOs and sightings.
Yeah, but they lie about everything.
And now the AATIP, which is the Advanced Aerial Threat Identification Program, have amassed some intriguing evidence and testimony from military jets chasing unidentified objects.
I saw that footage recently, and I mean, it's certainly questionable as to what it is.
Yeah.
We just need a little bit more than that, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if it was a clear film?
Yeah.
And it just, you know, with no jiggery pokery.
Yeah.
There's some pretty good stuff from Mexico, actually, from a few years ago.
Yes, yeah, I've seen all that.
Some of that Mexican stuff's pretty
Brazil
impressive.
Brazil as well, yeah. I think. They seem to go to South America quite a lot. But he reckons there are flesh and blood aliens out there somewhere, but cosmic radiation and the immense time required to travel interstellar distances probably rule out biological life forms making such journeys.
In E.T., he has a bit of difficulty getting a message to his folks that he was left on the planet.
Yeah.
And but he managed to do that, and they came back and got him. So, I mean,
concepts such as warping space-time and using wormholes are science fiction and not science fact.
Wormholes are talked about pretty constantly, though.
Yeah, but I think we watch things like Star Trek and all that, and you got warp speed 12 or whatever there, and it doesn't exist, but in my mind it does.
I'm not going to say it does, but I'm going to say it's possible. It's theoretically possible.
Yeah, but obviously you've seen Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's probably quite possible as well. The
Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf, yeah.
Yeah.
First
few
seasons, it got a bit rubbish later on, I think. But there you go, that was it. Do they exist? I want them to exist, but I don't know. I've confused myself in this.
This has left me pondering a lot of different things, Rob, but I'm glad that you've brought us to the table again.
Yeah.
If there are any aliens out there, please get in contact with us, 309-3879. You can text us on 5395 if you've done a sort of plan you're running.
Reptilians, I'd like to speak to a reptilian.
Not really that interested in reptilians.
Most of them are the royal family, aren't they?
David Icke was here. He spoke for something like, what, 4 hours?
12 hours.
Oh, Jesus.
12 hours. I was there the whole 12.
You were there the whole 12?
Yeah.
Is he unwell?
He actually made a lot more sense in his 12, a long drawn out 12 hours than he does when you see him in little snatches.
Hmm.
And, you know, at the end of it, he and Neil deGrasse Tyson both talked about exactly the same thing and came up with exactly the same answer.
Wow.
That was pretty out of it.
Maybe there. Are they tall and white?
No, Neil deGrasse Tyson's one of the world's foremost preeminent astrophysicists, and David Icke is one of the world's biggest conspiracy theorists. And they both came out and said, well, we could be living in a simulation.
Nah.
David Icke said we could because of this reason, and Neil deGrasse Tyson said because we can't prove we're not.
So it's Icke then, not Icke?
We all know who we're talking about. Yeah. Not sure. He doesn't go through the whole thing saying my surname is this.
He might be one of those people who talks about himself in the third person.
Oh. We do.
Can you Adam and Eva with Rob Bullocks?
She's undone a sea monster chain.
Thank you very much, my son.
Before we go into these air.